This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, we're continuing with the Mishnah we started last week. We learned the Abarbanel, and now see other commentaries to this Mishnah. Just to review the Mishnah quickly. Hu haya Omer, that is Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus, I think. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, "Kol sheruach habrios nocha himenu, ruach hamakom nocha." No, middle of it. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus said, "Shina shel shachris, person who sleeps in the morning, the yayin shel tzarayim, and drinking wine in the afternoon, the yeshivas batei kneisio shel amayoretz, motzina sa'odim min ha'olam." And there's another gears of Asichas Hayilodim, and talking idle things with children, and frequenting the meeting places of Amei Haaretz all take a person out of the world. So we'll start with the problem with Shina Shel Shachris. What's the problem? The Abarbanel said it's talking where a person oversleeps. He sleeps in the morning more than he should be sleeping. It doesn't get up for davening, doesn't say Kriya Shema, whatever. The Me'am Loei says that it's not necessarily the result of doing something wrong by oversleeping, but the concept of taking a nap in the morning. A person slept all night. Right? We're not talking of situations where a person works all night, or he was up late, or something like that. But a person basically had a good night's sleep, and now he wants to take another nap in the morning. So, says the Me'am Loeis, it engenders laziness. Something that a person is going to become a lazy person, not make the effort to function. When it's easy, he'll just take a nap. So that's what's wrong with it. The Rabbeinu Yonah says something similar to that. He says that a nap in the morning is very pleasing, and it will get a person accustomed not to learning Torah, not putting in the effort to learn Torah. To learn Torah, you have to be misgaber, you have to overcome sometimes your laziness, tiredness, or whatever. And if you get in the habit of taking it easy, you're not going to be able to overcome that desire when it comes to learning Torah. The Meiri says also a similar idea, but not exactly the same thing. He says that sleeping at that time is a luxury. And if a person accustoms himself too much to luxuries, he's going to become dependent on them, and he's not going to be able to function when he can't find those luxuries. So a person should not become dependent on physical things, material things, and luxurious things a person can avoid. He doesn't have to become dependent on them. The Tikkun Moshe says, similar to the Abarbanel, but a little bit differently. He says that a person who sleeps late, he's not talking where he's going to sleep and miss davening, or he's going to miss Kriya Shema. He's going to make it on time. But what's going to happen? He's going to daven at a time that he's going to have to rush through the davening to make it on time. So he's going to elongate his sleeping time and shorten his davening time. That's not a proper thing. Like, better sleep less and daven longer than sleep longer and daven shorter. Those are the problems with Shina Shel Shachris, sleeping in the morning. And again, where it's necessary, we're not talking about that. We're talking where it is not a necessary thing, and a person does it at the expense of other more important things. Okay, what's Yayin Shel Tzaharayim? So the Abarbanel said, it means that when you drink wine with your meal, it doesn't make you drunk. But when you drink wine after the meal in the afternoon, then it has the chance of making you drunk, and the problem is drunkenness. Okay. The And therefore, there are Mefarshim who say that the problem over here with Yayin Shel Tzoharayim is that a person's going to end up being drunk. What's so terrible about being drunk? So, a few things. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a shaila about marijuana, if it's mutter or not. And he said basically that anything, including alcohol or anything similar, that takes away a person's ability to think straightly and to make decisions and to a certain degree limits his free choice is 100% osur. Person was put in this world to make conscious, good choices. And anything that inhibits that is osur. Unfortunately, it's become a custom today, which in my time in yeshiva didn't exist. Surely not by your Litvisha yeshivas. Maybe they had Farbringens or whatever, where they had whiskey. But even there, they didn't do it to an excess. They made a little l'chaim or whatever here and there. But it's become a makas medina by almost every yeshiva, even good yeshivas. We yeshiva bachrim get together Friday night, or at a shalom zocher, or a kiddush, or whatever, and drink excessively, right? Become drunk and rowdy. And it's something that has to be, and I see it's not even only boys, girls also. It's a generation where this is had become a phenomenon which was never a phenomenon amongst Yidden. And Mamela, when these boys and girls grow up, they don't lose the taste for it, and they become at least semi-alcoholics, right? And the proof to it is there's so many wine stores and liquor stores with good hechsherim, mahadrin. What's in the bottle may be a mahadrin, but when it gets out of the bottle, may not be so mahadrin. So, therefore, drunkenness, aside from what Rav Moshe says, that it takes away a person's ability to make conscious, good choices, it also lessens a person's inhibitions. And even though in the secular world, inhibition is a negative thing, when it's a sickness and it's overly done, yeah, it may be a sickness. But it's good to be inhibited. Inhibited is busha, right? The words of Rav Shamsun Fuel Hirsch says that the word busha comes from the word lahis boshesh, to be inhibited, to be tarried, to hold back. Person shouldn't do everything he thinks. Not everything is appropriate. Not everything should be said. Not everything should be done. And that's what embarrassment is. Person's inhibited, he's embarrassed to do something that's inappropriate. But when you're drunk, or you're high or whatever, so that inhibition to a certain degree is taken away. And therefore the shield from doing various averas, especially sexual averas, becomes taken away, that shield, and a person is more prone to do averas. In addition to that, when a person is really drunk, they act in a way which is disgraceful and bring disgrace to themselves and all the people around them. Aside from all of that, it's also not healthy. Right? It hurts your liver, whatever it may be. So, therefore, Yayin Shel Tzoharayim is not wine that you imbibe as a beverage with your meal. It's drinking for the sake of drinking. And that's what many of the Mefarshim say is the problem over here. Okay, because it leads to drunkenness. The you deal with children. Do you find that this is a machla today? It's not just my perception. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the shuls have outlawed kiddush clubs. Separate.
I hear.
It's created a challenge.
Really? That's nice to hear. Okay. And people still go to those shuls.
How do you feel about medical marijuana?
How do I feel about it? I never took it. I don't know.
acceptable now.
If it's really medical, right, and it's a drug like any drug, right? Sometimes people are given cocaine as a drug for pain. If it's really medical, then there's no problem. It's a medicine. But if it's taken recreationally and people say it's a medicine, they need the recreation, so that for them is a medicine, that's not medicinal. But if it's controlled, then it really supposedly helps for many, many conditions. So if it's controlled and it's taken really as a medicine and it's been proven, from what I understand, that it is effective. So look, there are definitely studies that marijuana is a negative thing. It's not healthy, right? Again, there are studies the other way too, especially by people who take marijuana. But there have been many objective studies that it leads to worse drugs or whatever. So it has a very, very downside to it. But like everything, what's the lesser of two evils? A person, Rahman al-Islam, has something seriously wrong with them, and this will help, right? Then maybe you have to sacrifice the downside for the upside. But recreationally, where there is no upside per se, except the person's own personal feeling or whatever, then the downside takes precedence. Not really a bucky in these things. But that's what it would seem to me, logically. But today, nothing is really logical anymore. And that's why there are so many all different kinds of groups or whatever to teach people what, under normal circumstances, common sense would tell them. Today, nobody has any common sense. So they need all of these groups or whatever, how to raise their children and how to have good marriages or bechlau, how to function. Many of the things are simple. If you have a little seichel, you could do it on your own without paying money to be part of a group. But my wife once asked somebody, we brought up our children, we didn't need, all these groups and whatever. And so she said, but most of these things I see are just common sense. And the young woman who she asked said, yeah, but today we don't have any common sense.
Okay. I think part of the problem I've left is, referring to, for example, parenting workshops. Our parents didn't go to, there wasn't such thing as parenting workshops. But clearly the home and the family, what we had, we called a nuclear family, we sat around the table that night and had dinner together and shared, the day's events, that unfortunately is not necessarily so common anymore. So the young couples of today, in terms of the role models that they saw in their homes, has created sort of a vacuum. So these workshops can sometimes...
I hear. No, I'm not... I don't deny that there are definitely benefits. But a lot of the things that people can get on their own. They don't have the self-confidence to function on their own. Some of these books also for raising children or whatever are, people don't understand that things are personal, meaning that no one thing fits everybody. So it may be that this is good for raising child X, but child Y it's not good for. And people read these books and they take it that this is good for everybody in every situation. They try to apply it to their specific situation, and it doesn't work because their child's not like that. So there are books that make it clear that that's the case. And they're dealing with a certain personality or whatever, or they're giving you general things, and you then have to have the seichel to apply it in your specific situation. But the ones that seem to tell you, this is what you do, A, B, C, and D, and if you'll do this and raise your children exactly like this, you'll be successful. The best thing you can do with those books is use them to make your child a little bit higher so you can eat at the table. Okay. Another idea. It says, in fact, that wine was made, lenachem aveilim. People have tzaras, so they want to take away a little bit of the tzar, so they drink wine. It eases their pain. And to give reward to rishayim in this world, right? Wicked people, right? So this is one of the ways the Rabban Shalom gives them their reward in this world, so they don't have a reward in the next world. They enjoy that, and since they're Rishayim, they couldn't care less if they make the right decisions or not the right decisions. So for them, it's fine. The Tikkun Moshe says that, and others say that, again, this is something that's a luxury, drinking wine in the afternoon, right? Not as a beverage with your meal, right? But it's sit down and have something luxurious. Take a little wine in the afternoon. It gets a person used to luxuries and being dependent on them. When you're not dependent on them, it's nothing wrong with doing something luxurious, right? It makes you feel good. But when you become dependent on it, then it becomes a problem because you can't always have those luxuries. And if you're dependent on them, you won't be able to function without them. The Tikkun Moshe says, similar to what he said by sleeping in the morning. What happens if you sleep in the morning? So you get more sleep and less davening. Over here also, you drink. He's talking where you drink with your meal. But you extend the meal, but you bench shorter. The meal becomes elongated, and the benching becomes shortened. Malamed, I don't know which this is, what's it called, one of the Bali Musar, says that what happens over here is that it causes a person to sleep extra. Because once you drink wine in the afternoon, so you get tired. And the melee, a person's not able to learn Torah or to do anything constructive because he's sleeping all the time. Okay. Others say the Ma'am Loe says that a person like this is going to not have a clear thinking. He's not going to be able to work. Can't go to work if you're drunk, right? And Mamela, he's going to end up not making a parnosa. And in the end, we'll see that that's one of the ways it takes a person out of the world. In the end, he's going to end up being a ganav, and he'll end up being killed because try to break into somebody's house. Another idea is that the Medrash Dovid says that a person who drinks in the afternoon, again, not together with food, is prone to get drunk, and people will, denigrate him because he's a drunk, and they won't help him. And because of that, he's going to end up under dire straits of not being able to function properly in society. Okay, the next thing is Sichas Yelodim. So it doesn't mean spending time with your children and talking to them. Sichas Yelodim means where adults speak like children. In other words, children, it's okay for a child to speak childish words, but for adults to speak childish words is a different story. So the Ma'am Loi says we're talking about Sich of Leitzanis. Leitzanis is either scoffing, making fun of things that are important, or just talking about things that have no purpose, right? A waste of time. So you're wasting time from something constructive you could do, or learning Torah, or even working, whatever it may be. Okay. And that's why what's called the Bina Leitim said is talking about foolish things that adults say that if you be a child, it'd be okay. Once had a person who was a Rav, and he changed his occupation and became a principal in a school. So he once told me, he said he was tired working with adults who act like children. He wanted to act with children who act like children. So, in any case, I don't necessarily ascribe to that. My Balabatim will hear this. They'll tell me, go work with children. Okay. And again, the others say that because a person is attracted to just waste time, or like they say in the vernacular, to shoot the breeze, just to talk for the sake of talking, it takes a person away from more serious things, including learning Torah. Another idea they say over here, Sichas Yelodim, an interesting thing, that a person's constantly concerned with his children's welfare, and forgets about his own welfare altogether, right? Which shouldn't be misunderstood. It doesn't mean a person shouldn't be concerned with his children's welfare. But it depends where's the balance. Some people completely forget about perfecting themselves or working on themselves, and they are so much concerned with their children's welfare that they don't realize that if they would be in a better situation and they would be better role model, that would be what's best for their children. So they ignore themselves and speak constantly about how to better their children's lot, not realizing that part of bettering their children's lot is if the children get to see a father and a mother who are bettering their own lot too, and they have something to follow as a role model for the future. That's what he means. Doesn't mean that being involved with your children's welfare is something negative, but if it's total and you neglect yourself because of that, your own ruchnius, that's something not good. And also, he says, the Kol Sofer says that parents used to be very much concerned with their children's ruchnius, but they're going to end up, as mentioned, as frum Jews. And other things, gashmiistic things, they said, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom will take care, make sure they have a parnos or whatever. So they gave them a training for some kind of parnasa, but the main thing they spent their money on and their time was seeing to it that the children will be shomri Torah mitzvahs and learn Torah, whatever. But it's become a little bit almost not like that. People are very concerned about the physical status of their children. They should have a good parnasa and they should be healthy or whatever, which is all important. But when it comes to ruchnias, they say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care, which is just the opposite. The Rabban Shalom takes care of the gashmias, the things in the world. You have to make your estatus. But the Rabban Shalom doesn't take care of the ruchnias, that you have to do. So, I remember our Shiver of Gifter said, you know, parents are very concerned that their children shouldn't be exposed to any kind of diseases or whatever, even minor children's diseases. They give vaccinations, which is proper to do, and do all these tadlis to make sure their children don't get childhood, you know, diseases or whatever, and that they make sure that they are given the best secular education so they'll have a good parnasa. But when it comes to spiritual dangers, the Rabban Shalom will take care. And just the opposite is the truth. So people should be as much concerned about their children's spiritual welfare as they are about their children's physical welfare. The point is not to be less concerned about your children's physical welfare. The point is to be as concerned about your children's spiritual welfare as you are about their physical welfare. It's not denigrating people who are concerned about their children's physical welfare, but not at the expense of their spiritual welfare. That's the point. Okay, and then the last thing is Yeshivas Bote Knesio Shel Amei Ha'aretz. He says that people, Amei Ha'aretz, get together. He says over here it's like Bote Cafe. Sit, you know, on the Midracha or on Dizengoff, and or here in Kikar Tzion, and waste a day away drinking coffee or worse, and just idling away the time. And in the end, when you have nothing idiotic to talk about, you start talking about things that are also, like Rechilus and Lashon Hara and Nivul Peh or whatever. So that the Avodas Yisrael says. So he says, not only that, but people who talk like that, they create a shell around themselves which prevents their davening and their learning from having a good effect. Because basically their whole perspective is one of scoffing and Lashon Hara and speaking bad about people and denigrating things that person should have respect for, or whatever. And the Mela, when he davens, and even if he's frum, he davens and he learns, his davening and learning is not going to have the effect it should, because all of these things have a negative effect on his whole perspective on life. Okay, he says also, people like that, usually, who idle away their time, are jealous of people who spend their time doing something constructive. So they have to denigrate Talmidei Chachamim, people who are learning, people who are doing serious things, because otherwise they feel guilty. So this way they lash out at the people doing more constructive and serious things in order to bolster their own good feeling about themselves, that they're wasting their time. So all these things, it says, are motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. So how does that work? What does it take you out of which world? Okay. Says that motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam, one shot is that if you get involved in these things, you're never going to stop them. And they're going to go with you till you leave this world, even when you're old. These are not things that when a person gets older, he automatically stops. If you got in the habit of doing it, you're going to leave the world with these things too. That's Motzina Sodom in Olam. The Or HaMidos says that. Another idea is, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Torah lengthens a person's life. Orech Yomim B'Yamina. That doesn't only mean that people who learn Torah live a long time, have longevity. But there is Orech Yomim and Shonim. You can live a lot of years, but out of those years, you don't have too much quality of life. So you have a few moments of quality. Or you can live a short life, and it's filled with quality. It's like years and years. Torah makes your life meaningful. That's length of days. And being involved in all these things that we mentioned, right? Sleeping in the morning and wine in the afternoon and idling away your time, shorten your life. Right? You may live to be 120, but out of that 120, how much of it is really living? Another idea is why it takes you out of the world is because you become a lazy person and you don't go to work and you don't earn a living. Right? And in the end, you're, what's it called, going to have to cheat, rob, and there's all different kinds of way of robbing. You don't have to go with a gun and rob a bank. But you can cheat on all different kinds of ways that eventually you'll be put into prison. And in the end, it, what's it called, shortens your life. Either because you become a shikr, or you get all the other sicknesses, or you put yourself in danger. Danger of being killed if you actually go and rob because you can't earn a living, or being taken into prison, which is also not exactly good for a person's health. And also, in all of these things, Moshe Alasker says, all of these things, if you're a scoffer and you make fun of other people, you're going to have a lot of enemies. And that also is going to shorten your life because life's going to be miserable because of your enemies. And in addition to that, it's motzi esodem in ha'olam. It takes you out of tefillah b'tzibur. The olam, right? What's the olam? The olam is the chevra. And you're not going to daven b'tzibur. You're not going to be around a shul, right, to do things, to go to a shiur or whatever. So it takes you out of the real world and puts you into to a certain degree, a fantasy world. All three things, some of them, Mefarshim, put them all together and say that they all refer to different periods in a person's life. The Shina Shel Shachris is when a person's young and energetic and he becomes lazy, sleeps in the morning of his life. And then there's the midlife, right? And all he does is run after pleasures or whatever, like drinking wine in the afternoon. The afternoon of life is midlife. And then Yeshivas Bate Knesios, when he's old, right? Instead of doing anything constructive, he sits around and wastes his time talking like a child. Others say that it's talking about the three times of davening. Sleeping late takes you away from Shacharis. Drinking wine in the afternoon takes you away from Mincha. And sitting around in the Bate Knesios of Amei Haaretz takes you away from Maariv. Others say that it refers to three aspects of a human being. There is the physical part of the person that is referred to by sleeping too much. And then sleeping and the wine are things that lead to deteriorate your body. And sicha betela, talking idle things or whatever and wasting your time, affects the nefesh of the person. And all these things, the Mefarshim point out, they're all good, but not when they're excessive. They're good in moderation. Nothing wrong with sleeping a little bit, taking a nap. And there's nothing wrong with drinking a little wine. And there's nothing wrong with speaking, having a social gathering or whatever, and not talking about serious things. A person needs some time to relax also. But when it's done excessively, that's when it's no good. Says also these things. It says that what gives a person long life in Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, gives you a long life. L'man yarichu yomecho al ho'adama. So the Gemara asks, what about people in Chutz Lares? How do they have long life? So because they get up early and go to sleep late and go to shul, go to daven, go to a shiur or whatever. But people who do these things don't have that. So in Chutz Lares, they're not going to have a long life, because this impedes them from getting up early to daven and to go to a shiur or whatever. And that's also, these things inhibit a person from learning Torah, because Torah is acquired by not sleeping excessively and not eating excessively and not talking too much. If you get involved in those things, you're not going to learn Torah. But if you keep them to a minimum, right, then you'll be able to devote yourself to learning Torah. Okay, that's pretty much the mission.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.